All right, sit back and relax for the next 2 hours. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, Sammy, I'm going to take a crack at this. On tech, Derek Brandale.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And Jake Schultz.
You're right.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, great job, Sammy. We're out of the gate and running right now.
Here's what you need to know. I'm just putting that there every day. And if you want to bring it up every day, that's your prerogative, brother.
Hey, yeah. We acknowledge we work with great people.
They do great work.
When we work with great people. game day, Toronto Maple Leafs and the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight.
Jacob Quillen Day.
Jacob Quillen Day.
It's Jacob Quillen Day.
Jacob Quillen has been recalled from the Toronto Marlies AHL.
Here's
has yet to play a game in the National Hockey League. Is he officially in tonight? Do we know, Sammy?
I don't think he's in tonight. No.
So here's what you need to know,
sniffing around the edges.
This is a nightmare for Matthew Knies.
Why?
Jacob Quillen scored the overtime winner in the national championship NCAA game against Knies. Remember, Knies stayed another year to win that title, and Quillen reached into his chest, grabbed his heart and ate it like an apple in front of him.
Like in Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now he's been called up.
Yeah.
So Knies has played, again, some of his best hockey in this past week. If he gets shut down, do we blame Jacob?
Definitely.
No question.
Yeah. Quillen, by the way, has OT winners all over the internet. If you're junior hockey, he's apparently very clutch. This year, 15 points in 35 AHL games, so not scoring as much.
Yep.
But he can. Our guy Books, his scouting report, likes him from his college days, so that's cool.
Awesome. All right, we'll get into some Kippers Clippers, and also, Sammy, it's midweek Maple Leaf mailbag.
Yeah, so we got a busy Leaf Saturday. We're going to do a couple practice notes. I thought Berube had some interesting stuff to say about Wall today. Then we'll do the mailbag before we go to break, and then after the break, we'll have Jody Shelley on, help us tee up the Blue Jackets and Leafs tonight. Plus, he was on the Leafs broadcast on Monday on Amazon, so he has a close eye on the Leafs. So we'll go around with him. So, yeah, so there you go.
Okay, following up Jacob Quillen's call-up, let's go to Craig Berube on clip three on what he expects out of this call-up and how sad Knies really is.
You know, he's up here because he's played really, really well down there. You know, he's been a very good player of late, and that's why he's up here. If we need him, he's available for us. So, you know, when guys do well, they get rewarded. They come up to the NHL.
All right.
There you go.
I wonder how much of that is, and this legitimately does happen, where they want to reward a guy financially for the great work, and they say, you're not going to get in, but come on up and collect an NHL check for a week or whatever.
I think there's something to be that. For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, they could also just buy him dinner. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
good.
In saying that, I think there is some belief and promise that this guy could be a regular bottom six guy. Apparently, he's got this amazing reputation for just being a workhorse. I think what you're going to see is probably, if he does get in, maybe a bigger, stronger version of a Connor Doerr.
Yeah. He's 6'200", which is a good start. And just reading Bukala's scouting report and him from college, a lot of it is stuff that you're talking about. It's relentless competitor, you know, battles along the wall, boards in the trenches, doesn't cut corners defensively, all the stuff that you like to hear.
Plus clutch gene.
Also the clutch gene.
Yes.
Could use some of that.
In about 30 minutes, we'll welcome in Jody Shelley, broadcaster for Fox Sports, also does a terrific job on Prime. Just finished covering the Toronto Maple Leafs on Monday. He's right back at it again tonight. We'll have him on. We'll get more into the Columbus Blue Jackets. In the meantime, Joseph Wall gets a little break.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank God. I mean, I'm in favor of him getting some work, but he could use a night off, don't you think?
I just, let's play the clip, clip one, and we'll see what you think after.
Looks like
Hildebjerg. Wall's had a lot of work, a lot of emotional games, I would say, you know, Montreal, Tampa, like big games and emotional games, a lot of work. So, you know, just with the schedule and everything, just time for Hildebjerg to get in there.
Emotional games is just because they're division games and they were high octane, or what do you make of that? For those interesting.
I don't know. I mean, I'm, of course, from a different era where I look at these guys and I'm like, do we need to bubble wrap them? And then I'm watching Tampa Bay, Vasilevsky, who used to be this workhorse and just a guy that you could just first guy to pencil in your lineup, play 60 games, never have to worry about him. I'm again watching him the other night in Montreal, and he gives up just the worst goal I've ever seen out of him to Slavkovsky
on the goal line. Yeah.
It's like, and I'm like, what is happening here? And then it dawned on me, like, the guy hasn't been the same since his surgery. When was his surgery? I dare say a year ago.
I have a bad memory. Okay.
Yeah, didn't he missed the first half of the last season,
I would say he came back like November? End of December last year.
Okay.
Maybe a little earlier.
Okay.
If my memory serves me correctly, but it doesn't always.
Tell me he's ever been the same before that surgery.
Yeah, I mean, I think his numbers are better this year than they've been, but I do remember last year being like, okay, it doesn't seem like he's the same dynamic force he once was. I just, you know, that play struck me as he's trying to be this positional, that's where I'm supposed to be. Okay, I'm in this framework of a position, rather than goaltend. Like, the guy has no angle, just face him. I don't know, that was very strange. And then the game winner that Evans hits, Evans flubs it pretty bad. I didn't think that was,
His numbers are pretty in line with his career.
His numbers are good this year.
Yeah. Like last year was a clear outlier with a 900 save percentage. Is back up to 915 again this year. He was 915 the year before, 916.
Whatever the numbers say, for me, the mystique has just kind of been lost.
Okay.
Well, you can't lose to the perennial failing Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round without taking a little bit of the shine off the mystique. I think that's established. He's a 900.
What's the impetus to bring up Vasilevsky?
I don't know that he broke down, that all the games and the wear and tear have caught up to Vasilevsky.
Okay.
So maybe there's something to be said about, I don't know, load management. Is that what we want to call it for the goalies?
Sure.
Okay, for the goalies. Okay, sure.
Let's hear what Craig Berube says about Dennis Hildeby getting the start.
We just played
that. Oh, that one's the one we already heard.
Yeah,
all right. Ignore me. Don't play that one.
So Hildeby gets the start tonight. But Murray had a pretty good weekend in the AHL, didn't he? A couple of shutouts.
I think his save percentage is like he's back up to one of the top guys in the American League. So we got to see him.
We don't have to spend a ton of time on this, but big one for Hildeby because he's got to look good tonight before they go back and give Murray another chance here, right?
I think that's right. Yeah. If he's bad tonight, Murray will be back.
Yeah.
9:33.
I think that in a perfect world, that's the way they want it.
With these guys kind of going back and forth, each getting a look.
Matt Murray up. Just Matt Murray to lock in that third spot.
Yep.
That's all.
Sure. Makes sense to me. 9:33, he deserves another crack at it.
Columbus tonight?
Yeah, we got the Columbus clip. We also got the break approaching, where do you want to start?
Let's start with the Blue Jackets because they've actually been really good for quite a long stretch of time, despite dropping two in a row since the six-game winning streak. Blue Jackets been one of the best teams in the league for the past month, 10-3-2, 3.33 goals per game, and the second-best power play. They can fire it in the net. They're a really dynamic offensive team. I think they're second in the league on 5-on-5 goals. Like, they really can shoot it in. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Are we talking
I know, about tons
Columbus?
Of goals. How about this? So Sportsnet Stat tweeted it out, but the largest team goal differential with the player on the ice and off the ice. Second is Quinn Hughes, so the Canucks are plus 35 with him and minus 50 when he's not out there. There's Draisaitl, there's MacKinnon in the top five. In first is a guy named Kirill Marchenko. They're plus 47 when he's on the ice, and they're minus 51 when he's off.
This guy's game really popped this year.
The 98 goal difference. So he has found something special there, which is pretty crazy.
Let's listen to Berube on the Blue Jackets, and we can react off of that.
Cool.
Really, they got some great players over there. They really do. Size, strength. I mean, they come. They can score. Werenski's having a great year in the back end. Very good player. So, I mean, they come at you pretty good. Their power play's been clicking. And, young team that plays with a lot of energy and some real good skill.
Not to go full Johnny Stotts here, but Zach Werenski, 15 goals, has more than the Maple Leafs defense in total with 11. Jackets are first in the league with 30 goals from their defensemen. Leafs are 31st with 11.
That is two different ways to score goals.
Yep.
Marchenko has a comment where he talks about he's playing with Adam Fantilli, and he says, right now, he says, when we build chemistry together, he will be Andre Fantilov. Right now, he's Adam Fantilov. So they're having fun over there. They're pretty happy with their goal-scoring ways.
So if you go back a few years back, it was Seth Jones and Zach Werenski mm-hmm. who were leading the charge mm-hmm. for this organization. And then it was like, we don't want to pay both of them. And lo and behold, they trade Seth Jones and they keep Werenski. And at
the right
time,
one.
Everybody thought it was the wrong
Who
one.
Who did they trade? Oh, Johansson, right?
Ryan
Straight
Johansson.
Up, one for one.
In Nashville.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
And here we are where Werenski will get Norris Trophy votes. And Seth Jones is trying to find some sort of mm-hmm. game still. And then doing it, making $9.25 million a year.
Which career would you rather have, making the 9.25? Is he making more than Werenski? I think he is.
I think he is.
Yeah. You know, got to give credit to Dean Evason, who should probably be in the Jack Adams conversation. I think last year, I don't remember what Columbus finished exactly, but it was bottom five in the NHL. They have the tragic passing of Gaudreau to start the year and to rally this team into a wild card spot. Pretty impressive stuff. A lot of their young guys are starting to find it a little bit. Fun team to watch. Kent Johnson is fun. Fantilli's fun. Voronkov is 6'5 and scores.
Yeah. Werenski, their goaltending's been killing them, though.
And,
you know, they need a goalie.
Don Waddell, too.
Second worst, I think.
I'm not sure how much he. He got to kind of control in Carolina, but it does feel like he's come in and made a difference. And he also has Rick Nash within an arm's length, which I think is just great for this organization. He's willing to work. He puts in the time with the prospects or the scouting or whatever is asked of him. And there's no question that this guy will one day run the Columbus Blue Jackets at some point.
And having a name like Rick Nash, it's a lot of cachet.
It's like Joe Sakic in Colorado, right? Like, it's important for people. I think, you know, they've made some pretty good moves. Did they grab Dante Fabbro off waivers from Nashville? He's on their top pair.
Yeah, what?
So that,
what was that?
I don't know what's going on there. But Provorov's been all right. Severson, like, they're all right, man. They got some players.
Olivier, tonight, we see any fisticuffs tonight?
No.
Sam is over believing Reeves is ever fighting.
Why would we think that?
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Because like, every time we do, nothing happens.
Nothing's happened. Like, I'm not going to tee it up. Maybe if it happens, it'd be great. But, I mean, Olivier's no. If you're picking your guy to have your first of the year with, Olivier probably wouldn't be my first choice. He's an animal.
He's really high on the do not fight list.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you saw what he did last year to Rempe. Like, he's really, he's an animal. Plus, he can play.
We had Don Waddell on, what, about 6 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's going to sign Olivier.
Yeah.
He said he ain't going anywhere. But if he did hit the free agent market, what would you be willing to pay him if you were a general manager?
I hate this game. I have no idea.
Go first.
I don't know. I'm not a pro scout. I don't know. What are you?
27 years old.
Yeah.
I like that number. That's
what do they make?
I don't know.
$2 million? I don't know. What are they going to ask for?
As a UFA, are you asking what I would pay for him?
Yeah.
No idea.
At 27 years of age?
Give him two and a half, three times 4 years?
I'd love to get him at that, but I'd be willing to go higher, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an effective guy having a very good year.
They're just so hard to find.
They are. He's got 10 snipes in 47 games, which the least, I think, we have. Yeah.
He can get to the net. And he can scare people.
Yeah, he plays 15, 16 minutes a night. Like, he plays real. He's a contributor for them.
He is. I'm looking forward to watching him tonight.
For sure. I sent you guys that Athletic article today where they ranked the 10 most appealing center options for the Toronto Maple Leafs as we approach the trade deadline. Don't know if you had a chance to take a look at it. But this does remind me of how much, like the name that stood out to me was Trent Frederick, which I understand the Boston Bruins not likely to want to trade with the Leafs. But how much would you love Trent Frederick, a guy who also really excited to punch your face?
Yeah.
Like, but can he score 20 times for them? Young guy.
I can tell you he ain't signing around $2.5 million.
Frederick's not.
No.
No, but Frederick's a player. Like, and not that Olivier's not, but like.
Well, he's also
young.
And he's close to two seasons of 20 goals.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I don't know what he had last year, 45 points?
Yeah.
Right?
He's a good. So I just.
Having a tough year this year.
Not, he won't reach the numbers, but I don't think that will scare
14 points in 47 games dash 11 this year.
I don't think it's going to scare teams off if he goes UFA.
What I love about it is he's a guy who wants to punch first, take it to your opponent. It's not the fighting I want, but it's this like excitement, aggression on a guy who can finish. And you think in playoffs, that's going to work out really well. So that was a name that stood out to me as an option.
We have a couple. These conversations are kind of a segue into some mailbag questions that we have. So I guess we'll go to the center one first. And this is from Keith Whip on Twitter. To each of you, who is your ideal deadline acquisition at center? Is it Frederick for you, Borny?
You know, it feels like it's aiming low.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like there's enough offense there. I know that I've said that he can shoot it in, but it kind of like you'd love to have more of a creator.
Shot it in the net in a big game against the Leafs from the sideboards.
Yeah, he can do it. I think I would have to aim a little higher. Like, is Ryan O'Reilly still an option? Brock Nelson?
So forget all the names. Who is your ideal guy, Kipper? The number one guy. If you are Treliving, you said last year, you said the thing that Leaf fans always say, that this is the year.
Yes.
This is the year. Who is the one that you're going for?
Dylan Cousins.
God, I love this job.
You asked me.
Oh, I like that.
That's a big name.
I mean, it's already been rumored.
Go big some things.
Or go home time.
Whoa.
Yep.
So what does he mean?
So you say, here's Easton Cowan.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
This is how Kip is at a restaurant, too. How much is that bottle of wine? You know what? Don't even.
Whatever. Yeah.
Just bring it.
All right. Okay.
So he signed a 7-year, $49 million contract. Yeah. So 7.1.
But it's.
Tavares is up after this year.
Nothing. Tavares is done. Not sure what Mitch is going to do. Lots of room there. But
I got to tell you.
To get him. No, but to get him. But to get him. This year, you gotta ditch some money.
Mm-hmm. You can't retain on a single year. You can't say retain 50% this year and we'll do full boat after that. Right? It has to be equal distribution of retention.
Now or never.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a guy that they'd actually move? Like, there was rumored with the Canucks thing. Remember, was it Byram? Was that the one that Freege threw out there? Byram and him for Pettersson? He threw that out there early, in the early conversations. You think they'd, in division to the Leafs?
Quiet, I'm cutting money from the Leafs payroll.
But listen, distressed asset, that just seems like a loot. Like, you do not win that trade if you're the Sabres. Because you get him in a better situation, he lights it up here, it's another guy that got away to the Leafs. There's no way they trade him to the Leafs.
Yeah, it's unlikely, but you just asked him what his ideal fit was.
I know, but like, you trade, you know.
Listen, make an offer they can't refuse.
Well, and I very much believe if all these teams offer you something and the team that offers you the best package is in your division, you take the best package. You're not even close to winning a cup. You have to improve your team and get as good as you can. You can't worry about one opponent. You're getting beat by 28.
Yeah.
Do you think anybody would be looking to get a 6'3", 210-pound, light-shot, 23-year-old center? Anyways, that's a good one.
I think that might draw a few offers.
I was going to be like, Kadri? But now he's like,
that's a good one.
Yeah, Kadri. Yeah.
Is Kadri up there for you? I hate how Canadian I have to say that now because of you.
Kadri?
Kadri? Cousins.
Okay. All right, this is a great question, and it's around the, because we were talking about Columbus, how, you know, they're kind of floating around at the bottom of the playoff picture. And this is from Mikey, not Mikey Davis on Twitter. How excited are you for Leafs to win the division only to play one of the four teams fighting tooth and nail for months for a wild card spot? And that is something I texted you about. He tweeted me about it today, that this is a new horror unlocked for the Leafs, where
new tragedy unlocked,
where they're playing so well here, and they're gonna they're like
these poor guys. They can't win, man.
No, they can't.
Well, you gotta beat a good team. There's 32 teams, 16 make it.
But they've gone into these first round matchups against teams that they know they're gonna be playing. All like the Bruins, they've been there. The Lightning have been there. It's not like they are fighting tooth and nail to get into the playoffs. There's a chance here. Like, look at the bottom of the division. Like, the Rangers are all of a sudden getting hot. Columbus, Ottawa. If the Leafs win the division, they're getting a team that's fought for 2 months, tooth and nail to get in there.
And so, you see that all the time where a team, like, remember the year Boston and Florida? Florida snuck in, I think, late their upset.
Yeah, you mean the year that they beat the Leafs?
That's right, year. But, I mean, every year you see it, a team battle to get in. They're just used to playing this competitive, desperate hockey.
Kings won the Cup the year they got in. They beat the Canucks in the first round. Like, that's a new horror unlocked for Leaf fans.
Cool.
There you go.
You got no problem with the Leafs taking their chances against a team that may come in hot or may not. Who knows?
And bring me the Montreal Canadiens. Like, oh, would that
look
be fun?
If it is a Columbus, right, and... Yeah, I get it. You got everything to gain and absolutely nothing to lose.
No one's
giving
to
you
lose
any
Columbus
credit at all. But come on.
Yeah, let's see Jake Christensen, Jordan Harris hold up against Marner.
Play the role
Matthews.
That it's supposed to play when you're the top team in the East or your division to play like you won it.
May I say that under Craig Berube, one of the noticeable differences for me is that they tend to do a better job handling their business against the teams they're supposed to beat. Like, even though they haven't looked great against Philly and the Islanders, whatever, they're winning the games, right? They're not like last year losing to Chicago. And I feel like they're handling their business better.
Goaltending.
Yeah,
that's all I got to say to you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right?
This is not rocket
goaltending. That... How many Samsonov losses at this point last year would we have said, oh, my God, what's he doing?
Could he have mixed in a poke check in overtime in Game 7?
Right.
That's all I needed. Like, just mix in a poke check.
Your crease,
we've got maybe a handful of goals that have gone in on Joseph Woll or Stolarz before he got hurt where we're like, eh.
It's so true.
A handful.
Yeah. We used to come in
after
here every 40, day.
Almost 50 games.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. That's it.
I am thinking about that Pastrnak OT winner.
Yeah.
Really, just get a piece.
So what you're saying is if the Leafs go deep in the playoffs this year and everyone's like, God, that Craig Berube finally came in here and they did it, and Sheldon Keefe is sitting in his New Jersey office being
just
like,
cutting a microwave,
oh, my God,
steak.
It was a goalie. There's a goalie.
Hey, Jordan Binnington saved his bacon when he came in relief. Yeah. The year they won the Stanley Cup, and he might go 2-2, 2-for-2 with goalies this
show
year.
Show me a Jack Adams coach, and I'll show you Vezina finalist goalie.
He's so far, he's been pretty well blessed with good goaltending.
Yeah.
Okay, this is another playoff magic question, which is an interesting one, and I don't think I've ever actually gotten your opinion on this. Would love to see your thoughts on your choose your opponent playoff format. Top seeds pick opponent from seeds 5 to 8. Second and third seeds pick from remaining teams 5 to 8. Adds importance and drama to the regular season standings and would actually create rivalries that Gary wants.
We are in the business of entertainment.
Uh-huh.
How entertaining would that be? I would love that. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, we've suggested that.
We have?
Yeah.
Well, maybe on another show I've done.
I don't think we've ever talked about that.
Yeah, pick your opponent.
No, I don't
so
think
the
so.
Capitals... get the one seed.
I did this on Hockey Central at noon with Doug McClain and Darren Millard.
Oh, really?
I bet you Doug hated it.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Like, if the Caps get the one seed in the East and Crosby sneaks into the 8 seed, does he pick Sid? Do they, any team, you're immediately offended? They, you know, it's great. It creates instant drama.
But, I mean, why should it stop? To me, if you're the top seed, regardless of who else is around there, you get to pick, like, you're probably not going to pick second or third, but if you, like, own them or you feel like you have a good chance against them,
well,
you get them out of the way.
Well, it could be injury-based, though,
Sam. Or you get them out of the way early. Like, I feel like if you're the top seed, you get to pick whoever you want to play, regardless of seed.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. I love the idea that, like, oh, there, you know, McDavid's got a broken ankle. We're going to pick the Oilers. We don't think the rest of their team's any good, whatever it is.
All right. This is from Johnny at I Pour Beers on Twitter. Hot take. The real win in the Four Nations faceoff would be if Matthews, Marner, and Willie came out of that silly tournament injury-free. I'll take that any day over Team Canada Tournament W. I'd rather Canada go 0-3 than have any one of those guys get injured. Priorities.
I got a buddy named Johnny that pours beers for MLSE, so I hope that's him.
I think Johnny, I pour beers. So
I think that's correct. This is the Leafs hour.
Somebody's going to get hurt somewhere. You got to think, especially if it's a lot more intense than 2016, that World Cup in September. Yeah. Are they going to push a lot harder because they feel like a good performance will solidify a place in the Olympics? I mean, that's it in a nutshell, right? That's the carrot.
But Willie, Austin, and Mitch aren't because they're all locks. They're absolutely locks.
Yeah, no, if you want to go down that path, probably like 80% of them are locked.
Yeah, so right? Maybe they won't be as desperate.
So I hope they are competitive and they put on a good show.
But, like, it's not the Olympics. If we come here and Canada's 0-3 and everyone's healthy, you might go, all right, move on.
If one of Nylander, Matthews, or Marner get hurt and are out the rest of the season, like, are you done working on this show?
No, but I've been talking about this very thing for, like, since the start of the season. Is the juice worth the squeeze on this?
You see,
Austin
gets hip checked and he's rolling around holding his lower back at one Olympics, point. How's your reaction?
Olympics
be, Sam?
Is a completely different animal. If, like, you risk everything for the Olympics, for Canada to win a gold medal at the Olympics, that's the pinnacle. That's what matters. But, like,
more than a Leafs Cup?
No, clearly. No. I mean, I've seen gold medals. I would like to see a cup.
But it's an easier pill to swallow, is what you're saying.
100%. Like, God love the Four Nations face-off. You know, Rogers, Doolittle.
Cool. It's gonna be cool.
It's gonna be great. But, you know, it's the first one. It's gonna be a great event. But winning the gold at the Four Nations face-off, boy, it sucked to lose Matthews for the rest of the year. But God, that gold at the inaugural Four Nations face-off presented by Rogers still makes it great. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Stay healthy, boys.
Have you ever played in any Canada or played like that?
I only did a World Youth Tournament in Landshut, West Germany at the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, you played in West Germany?
Oh, I played against, yeah.
Who'd you play against?
Oh, Czech, Russia.
Yeah.
Germany. Crazy. I played against, like, Michael Pavanka, who was one of the best Czech players. These were, like, top youth players that
scored 65 goals in the O, so you must have.
But it was, it was a heck of an experience.
That's really cool.
I don't know. We beat Germany and a few clubs, but then we played Russia and we lost like 12-0.
Really?
Yeah. And then I watched at the time Czech and Russia play for the gold medal. Like, you should see my eyes. Yeah. I could not believe how vicious they were on each other.
Really?
Like,
as a Canadian, like, OHL guy.
Even after experience like Canada-Russia Summit Series, like, these were baseball swings constantly on each other. I was mortified.
Tremendous.
They offended you.
Yes.
So what I'm getting at there, it's because I don't know if you've talked to guys what the experience is, but, like, Mitch Marner is a teammate on Canada with Sam Bennett. And, you know, you're playing against William Nylander, who is your teammate on the Leafs, and you're trying to win a cup with, and you've been together with for 8 years here. Like, how does that dynamic work? I'm fascinated by that dynamic. Like, it's not the Olympics. It's a different thing. Like I've said, if Sam Bennett hammers Willie in the corner and he's like, goes down, he's like, good job. Like, how does that dynamic work?
Go ahead.
Well, if you read Wayne Gretzky's autobiography, my dad played on the Canada Cup, and I want to say it was 87, 88, maybe.
No, so even
earlier,
84.
84. 84 is right.
Yeah.
So team was half Islanders and half Oilers.
Oh, like, my God.
Almost exactly. When they just played in the final.
Yeah, go ahead.
My understanding of this story is that, like, there was real genuine hatred in the room. And the Gretzky story is that my dad stood up and basically said, we don't like you guys, you don't like us.
Yes.
But we have to, in this instance, make this work. And they had to be some sort of, like, come to Jesus moment for the team.
So that's fascinating.
Messier, Gretzky, And then the Islanders, right?
Yeah.
Kevin Lowe. Like, they were...
That's crazy.
Vicious on each other, too.
Yeah.
But I just... I mean, like, a guy gets smoked and he's on your team. And you're, like, on with Team Canada. You're like, yeah, but good job.
It really, I don't know. It's weird. It did really start in 76. And, I know I mentioned this the other day, but Börje Salming with Team Sweden going up against Sittler and McDonald.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a teammate that they loved. Mm-hmm. But you also had this real competitive, don't let Canada down, man.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And that's where they cheered in Toronto for Salming.
5 minute standing ovation.
And he's with Sweden.
Yeah.
We'll see if Matthews gets the Salming standing O. But
they've never been more buddy buddies now, today, this era. So,
anyways, we don't need to keep talking about it. It's just fascinating to me. It's a really interesting dynamic.
It is.
Let's go to break so we can get to Jody.
All right.
All right. You heard the man. When we return, Jody Shelley, broadcaster with Fox Sports Ohio, former NHL player, and now covering the Columbus Blue Jackets. Jody after the break when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Hour edition of our show. Hildeby. See how clear and concise I was with that?
I'm bummed you're not doing Hillbilly anymore.
Gets the start tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I called him Hillbilly on Leafs Talk the other night.
On purpose or no?
No, by accident. Because I was thinking about what you did.
Okay, so it's just not me.
Well, no. It was because of you, and I was thinking about what you called him.
Okay.
Hillbilly.
He's got to feel a lot more confident that the team's playing well overall.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I really feel like for a guy like him, the more games he gets in, the better chance you get to see him as who he really is, not a nervous guy trying to make an impression.
Okay, as promised, Jody Shelley, who covers the Columbus Blue Jackets, joins us now, and he'll give us a better idea of what the Toronto Maple Leafs will be facing, a very much improved, confident hockey club. Jody, and man, I didn't think I'd utter those words at any point this season when I described the Columbus Blue Jackets.
You know what? It's been surprising, but a pleasant surprise, isn't it? I mean, how they came into the season, you know, how they went through the grieving process of the tragedy with Johnny and Matty Goodrow, and you kind of wonder what's going to happen. And these guys all wondered, what's this going to be like? And one thing they did that was really powerful was they grieved together. And Dean Evason grabbed that right away and said, boys, you know, this is going to be tough, but let's play for Johnny. Johnny would want that. And that's what they're doing right now. And, you know, they've added some nice pieces to this group as well through waivers. And you know, look at Fabro and Aston Reese, NHL players that can fit in this system. They've had some guys overachieve, I guess, if you will. You know, he didn't expect Mathieu Olivier to get 10 goals at this point in the season. And Zach Werenski's been thrust into a leadership role, and he's grabbed it. And boy, is he dragging this team to where they're at right now. So it's been it's a lot of great stories, of course, to make this work. But an emotional start and some guys playing some really good hockey.
You mentioned Werenski, who now is up around talks of a Norris Trophy. And, yeah, we think of Quinn, we think of Makar, but then he's right there. So what is it after all these years and that separation of once upon a time, should we keep Zach? Should we get rid of Seth Jones? No, we got rid of the wrong guy, and now we think we kept the right guy. What has taken him to another level?
It's been a few things. Health is number one. You know, this is a guy who's he was drafted right behind Provorov in 2015. He's played like I think it's 150 or more less games than Provorov, who's a machine. So he's healthy. I think the leadership thing is a big deal, Kipper. I think that, you know, with Boone Jenner and Goodbranson in that locker room, I think that he was a supporter, and now he's had to step up to the mic and say things like it's not good enough and we'll be better, and he's backed it up. The system they're playing, much different than the last 2 years. Dean Evason wants him to go like this. He's a rover, and Torts had him in that role. And that means he's pretty much a forward whenever he wants. And he's told to go in the offensive zone and not come back if he doesn't want to. And, you know, everything, he's ready to go over the boards every shift. So you think of like a guy like Duncan Keith back in the day, was barely on the bench to rest. You're just out there to play against the top players, and he's driving everything. And I watch him with players in all situations and TV timeouts. He's always has a conversation going. He is the leader right now, and I think that that's something for Zach that's put him in a spot where he's had to elevate.
Jody, the Blue Jackets being like legitimate playoff threat here. The one sort of sore spot might be goaltending. What is the status of the crease? Will they do anything there? Or just hope one of these guys sorts it out.
I think ultimately they'd like it to sort itself out.
Yeah.
But if they're in a spot where they can make a move, I think Don Waddell is in on everything. I mean, he's a guy that's not shy to do anything for the good of the team. You know, Tarasov is the younger guy. He's a big goalie. He's really been subpar this year. And he was sent to Cleveland to get the rust knocked off. He did accept that and went down and played some games. But he's also a guy that's dealt with injury here in his first 4 years of his career. Elvis is going through it a little bit. He's a guy that he's been pretty good. You know, he's been steady at times. He's had some good run support with goals. But he hasn't locked it down. I think he has stolen one or two games. But there's more there from Elvis, we think. And then they have Jack Reeves, who's been up a couple times, a young prospect. And that's created a competition. And I think that's a good thing for the Blue Jackets. Some guys in a number one spot like to feel cozy, I think. I'm not sure if the pushing is helping all of us or not, but it's something that's good for the organization.
We're talking to Jody Shelley, who covers the Columbus Blue Jackets, also does a terrific job on Prime on Monday nights. Jody, Matthew Olivier, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, again, prior to this season, just one of maybe a handful of real tough guys in the National Hockey League. And then it ends there. You mentioned the goals that he's scored. He's also a pending UFA. And, like, where is his value right now, not only to Columbus, but maybe on a UFA market and how attractive he may be to other teams here? I know Don Waddell, we had him on about 6 weeks ago. He said he ain't going anywhere, but, like, yeah. He ain't coming cheap anymore here. I'm not saying he's the next Tom Wilson here, Jody, but he's a lot closer to Tom than he's ever been in his career.
Yeah, and he's playing on the third line. I talked to him today about it again, and, you know, he understands he's been given a really good opportunity. And just think about how that role evolves, right? We would all dream of going to the third line and being a penalty killer and scoring 10 goals halfway through the season. Mm-hmm. But this day and age, he's very good at understanding the temperature of the game. You know, like, he's going to be a $4 million guy, maybe even more, with some markets being desperate for a player like this, because he can do that. Kill penalties, hold on to pucks. He can put fear into people. He's a great teammate. He's a leader. I think he's starting to smell that the teams outside of the Columbus market are attracted to him. And I've every place I've been, they've asked about two people, and it's been Olivier and Werenski. And, you know, he's happy to hear that. I mean, of course, we'd like to keep him in Columbus, but there is a point of what is he looking for there. You know, Montreal is probably interested. I mean, every organization we go into, they ask about him. And he's created the value. You know, Scott Ford was his coach in Milwaukee. Spent a lot of time with Scott Ford, and Scott Ford's our assistant coach in Columbus. Just working on the game and working on his craft, and now he's really been a bright spot for this team.
So you think a $4 million AAV on him next season isn't out of the question?
I don't think so.
Wow.
I think he's one of those guys, right-handed shot.
Montreal's a perfect fit.
Listen, I am not. Don't get an argument out of me, man. I'd be an important
incredible
piece.
Right?
375. Yep. Wow. Do it. All right, so the name that other people must be bringing up is Marchenko. What an unbelievable season this guy's having. We had a stat earlier today where the goal differential with him on the ice and off the ice for Columbus is higher than any other player in the league, including, you know, Quinn Hughes, McKinnon, whoever. He's been wonderful. So did you see this coming? Did you know that he had this level of play in him?
Well, this is where you'd hoped he'd be. Okay. And the key factor for him and Voronkov is Monahan, who's out of the lineup right now. I mean, this guy, what a pleasant surprise. I mean, he plays the game at the right pace. He's always in the right position. Fantilli's been in there now, and those guys have cooled down a little bit, those two wingers. But he's big. He's learned how to work for pucks away from battles and in battles. He uses his size at the right time, and it's almost like he's got that that dynamic to understand when to use a skill. You know, there was parts of his first couple seasons where skill was used at the wrong time. His size wasn't used properly. But he's evolved into this role, and I credit him and Dean Evason and Sean Monahan for pulling this out of him, because he's got a good package, and he's a guy that works at it, studies the game. So, you know, they all do. But when you have a start to the season like this and you see it rewarded, it kind of stamps what he's done. So he's been one of those young players that he creates a buzz, and he's a threat for the opposition, of course, when they prepare for the game tonight. It's that Marchenko, Voronkov, Fantilli line.
A little over 30 games to go in the regular season, and it just seemed like when the New York Rangers faltered, they invited so many teams in the East to jump back in it, and that includes Columbus here. And it just seems week after week, we're talking about a team getting hot like Detroit or Montreal or Ottawa, and then they cool off. When it's all said and done, how is Columbus now matched up against the handful of teams making a legitimate run right here? How do you see this thing playing out in the last stretch of the season?
I hope they're in the hunt, because the belief in the locker room is an important thing for all these teams are in it right now. And Columbus's belief is there. They're excited. I think they hang around. I think they do, but they have to get Monahan back. And they have a couple guys today that might not play. I don't know if Sillinger's going to play tonight. He's a centerman. And this is going to be a tough center ice matchup for the Blue Jackets, you know, especially that top line. I don't know what they're going to answer with. But it's going to be interesting to see if they can hang in there until guys get healthy. Boone Jenner will be back after the February break. He's the captain. He's the guy that's been that one to drive this team. So if they can hang in there till the break starts, they could have some good things happening after. And I think that would be an exciting way for Boone to get back. So I think they're right there. You know, they go in and surprise teams a lot like Montreal. They play hard against the Rangers. And right now, Kipper, all these teams that are in it with the belief, they're playing that defensive, stingy style of hockey, and they're bought into it. So that always gives them a chance.
Jody, you're looking exceedingly dapper today. We can see you on the screen. I'm sure you're on the broadcast tonight. We watched you on the broadcast Monday night for Amazon, watching Leafs Blue Jackets. Do you have any impressions of this year's version of the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Yeah, I'm impressed. I think with everyone else, it's their defensive ability. You know, I look at those main guys. They've been in the playoffs every year. They've been in the National Hockey League. I know they haven't had success, but they've had a lot of scrutiny. I think they have the right guy behind the bench in Craig Berube. I love the Nylander-Berube dynamic. I think we should have a camera behind the scenes and a mic on Chief every second of that, because he just, you know, there's so much swagger in that locker room. There's no more swagger around the league than in that locker room. They hang out with celebrities. They know they're under the watch of everyone, and they back it up. I think that's important. I like Oliver Ekman-Larsson too. I like how he's in there. He's won a Stanley Cup, and he's amazed at these young guys. I think that's important. I think they're for real, and I think the confidence they have and the understanding to make it happen in the playoffs is for real. And you know, when they get their goaltender tandem back and working, I think they're going to be one of those teams that understands playoff hockey has to be learned, and I think they've learned it, and they're going to use the regular season well. So I'm excited for this push to the end. Yeah, I'm dapper. You know, one thing, Borny, my time management's terrible, so I got to get all ready now to catch the bus so I don't have to walk in this freezing cold weather, so I can, you know, so it's going to be drop the mic, run to the bus, get on, and I'll try to get a coffee in between, but we'll see how that works out. But
we'll make sure you get out in time.
Don't worry. I'm fine. We got lots of time.
Jody, for the record, there's been a couple of road trips where I slept in my suit for time management.
Yeah, okay,
to catch the bus. Okay,
I did that one night. Yeah, I didn't sleep, but I think it was a 36-hour suit I had on. Yeah, that's happened.
Well, listen, we really appreciate your time. Keep up the great work. I know you're busy as heck, but we enjoy every second we get to listen to you. Thanks for doing this.
I really appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on. You guys do a great job, and enjoy the league. Have a great day.
Appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Yeah.
Jody Shelley, Fox, Columbus, also Prime.
Yeah. The Amazon game. So.
They love doing Leaf games too, Prime? You can just tell.
Well, a little extra juice. I mean, right?
Well, they picked them like 18 times out of 20 Mondays.
Often. Listen, as a guy who has Beer League Mondays, I know how many Mondays they play.
Oh, you're getting killed,
They're killing me this year.
Yeah.
It's like I'm missing half the games.
Yeah.
God, all their money buying all those Mondays from us. Ruining the zigzags. Actually, they're better without me. Anyways.
But, yeah, no, he's as into your boy, Olivier.
Yeah.
As you.
I was surprised that he's like, yeah, he could get $4 million, because we had that discussion prior to Jody coming on, and it was like 2.5, 3, but yeah, if the cap's going up, which we believe that it is, more than the 5%, of course, that still needs to be negotiated, but the cap could go up to close to $100 million.
That would be spectacular, but it certainly would change, the percentage of the cap or whatever. The other thing that really stood out to me is the goaltending thing. Like, they get no goaltending, and they're still in a playoff hunt. Like, if they had some goaltending, this team might be legit.
So he mentioned maybe they shop. Like, where would you go? Like,
for a goalie?
Yeah.
They have the third worst goaltending in the NHL.
Like, Mackenzie Blackwood would have been a nice pickup for them. But
so looking around at teams that are out, I don't know, Seattle ready to sell a goalie? Is Varlamov going to come back? Maybe the Isles could sell him? I don't know.
Yeah.
They got nothing. It's going to be pretty lean for them. But yeah, they are legitimate this year, and they certainly haven't been for a little while.
Interested to see how the D pairs look again tonight with Riley sticking up there with McCabe. We didn't talk about that much yesterday, but I immediately was wrong. I mean, it's not the first time I've been wrong about something, but you were very hard on having him stay up there with. Mm. I thought he had his best game in quite some time
with Riley. Yeah,
yeah. Like McCabe, Riley did playing with McCabe.
Yeah. McCabe being able to play his offside is certainly very helpful.
It is a priority, guys. It is. Morgan Riley behind the scenes has been a concern for them for a little while now, and they've got to do everything they can to get him looking like their $7.5 million defenseman.
Yeah. I mean, that is a big part of it. Ekman-Larsson played the most of any Leafs D last game, over 23
he's
minutes.
He's kind of turned it around a little
stock
bit.
Stock up for me.
Yeah, he's a stock up
I
guy.
I just don't know. He's also a guy that you cannot overload on.
Because
he will break down.
Mm-hmm. Benoit Timmins probably not going to be your third pair in playoffs, though, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Don't fully trust it. Benoit's got better. Yeah. So that's something to keep an eye on. I do think it's interesting to see, you know, can they get some more Max Domi? What's Fraser Minton going to bring for them? Because otherwise, the top guys look so good. Like, the top two lines, there's almost nothing that interesting for me tonight. It's the same big dogs, and McMahon, Holmberg, Nylander again is the second line.
Mm-hmm. How many breakaways? What's the over-under on Nylander getting a breakaway?
You know, I had a chat today with the guy at Sport Logic. They have Willie recorded as 11 breakaways, first in the NHL.
Last week.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, what are the parameters for this? There's no
clear
way
cut?
He's only had 11.
Like, clear
so
cut?
The definition they use is it has to be a zone entry followed by a 1-on-0 with a goalie, which basically means that you have to have the breakaway from the blue line
in
for
clear
it to be.
Cut.
But like, so Willie's got to have a dozen other where he gets around a guy late or something like that.
Drops his shoulder
and
cuts in.
It's not like a clear
one. So Saturday, Lane Hudson, not a breakaway?
That's a great question.
Yes.
You know, that's a great question. Would that be considered? Is it a 1-0 with a breakaway? I do.
I don't think it's a breakaway.
I think, really?
Well, no, because he's battling with a guy. He wins position after he gets over the blue line.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with this. You should be home free, blue line in as a breakaway.
Yeah, to me, he's got body position, so he's on the other side.
It probably needs to be redefined. Like, there's a there's a break, and then there's a breakaway. There's a clear-cut breakaway. There's different versions.
Right now, we're having, you know, and I talked to them, and they said, even if you were generous, the stat might give them 15, but it just feels like...
Which
Willie,
is a lot.
15 is a lot of breakaways.
It's a ton of breakaways. Yeah. How many breakaways do you have in your career, Kipper?
You get 15?
I've had one or two.
Yeah.
No chance, 15?
Oh, my God. 15.
15's crazy. That's a career for a lot of guys.
Oof. All right. Our thanks to Jody Shelley. Hey, nice jersey. We wear Blue Jay jersey.
Santander back
there. Come on. Give it some love.
Santander.
I love it. Thanks, Jays, for sending me through. Let's put it up there. Anthony Santander.
I can't wait to hear Buck.
All right. When we return, Emily Kaplan from ESPN. She's been on the show before. We get her thoughts on JT Miller when we move forward on the Real Kipper and Bourne show. Back after these words.